Gary, just from the discussion paper that was presented to council on January 12th, it said unauthorized forms of non-traditional residential accommodation is a growing problem in municipalities across BC because of the housing crisis faced everywhere. Are there any municipalities you know of that have found a way to authorize people who live in RVs and vans and campers?
I don't know of any community that's authorized. And in fact, the problem is apparent across the province because of, the issue of unable to find proper accommodation for folks. So, people are living in their motor homes, their vans, their cars, wherever they can find a place that they think will be safe for them. But I don't know of any community that's actually nailed that I'm aware of, that have been able to say, okay, we know you can park here for a certain period of time, it's safe, and you won't have any city staff coming and saying, hey, you need to move on. I don't know of that yet.
Is it tricky in Revelstoke because some people choose to live in vehicles to be here to ski and they might have the means to rent if they felt it was more accessible? And then there's some people who live in their vehicles because they've been squeezed out of the market and can't afford it.
I don't know how we could ever differentiate between the two without talking to people and saying, why are you doing it? Yes, for some it's a lifestyle, and for others it's necessity. But how do you go about saying to people, if you're choosing to live this way, you must go here. If you can't afford to go somewhere, you must go here. It's not something that we can basically distinguish between the two and say, you're welcome, you're not. Oh, you're paying tourist fees, so you can go here, and you're not. You're struggling to get by, you can go there. That's just not something that's really on the backs of taxpayers to say, okay, this is what we can do. We know that yes, some people choose that lifestyle because they're here to ski or snowmobile or whatever the case may be, and others are just struggling to get by. But how do you differentiate between the two, and then what would be the reason for differentiating? So.
And there are some affordable housing units available in the city. And then I know that the city has been working hard to expedite the development of more. And I'm thinking of stuff like the Humbert Street apartments that just opened in the summer and the River's Edge. But those are called affordable housing, but the rent is still beyond the means of many people, especially people on fixed income like pensions or disabilities. So I'm wondering what the city is doing to include this demographic in solutions for accessible housing.
Well, we're having a housing summit coming up in a couple days on Thursday evening, I believe, to talk about what other communities were able to do and what we see may be a good approach moving forward. So looking at our options by talking to people who've been able to either successfully do something or have things in the works so that we can look at what they're doing so we don't all have to reinvent the wheel. So that's kind of where we're at this point, Megan, is really looking at what we can do. So we're trying to bring together like-minded communities to have that dialogue on the challenges of working under different governance models and to try and provide affordable housing. So each community here in our province is unique, and the pressure is on for all of us to deliver affordable units, of course, in a timely fashion. But it's a really complex situation. So, getting together to discuss it is one thing, and then putting it into play, we need to do that quickly, efficiently, and in a way that's going to keep members of our community in our community.
And so I do understand that this housing summit is coming up and these conversations are going to be had, ideas shared, but I'm wondering, because this isn't something that just came up in this past year where people on disability or pensions can't afford what we call affordable housing in Revelstoke. So is this something that's already been considered and there are several plans or options that this demographic has been included in the conversation already?
Well, we thought they had been included in the conversation with what BC Housing is doing in the community. And then when I talk to people, they're saying it's still not a situation that we can afford. And so we can't control some of those things, and we don't want to leave people out. So what do we do as a community to be able to assist those? We want them to be able to stay, to live. They're here. They're making their living. They're doing what they can to survive. How can we accommodate them? And I don't think there's an answer for that at this point in time. It's not something that I can say, well, yes, we can do this. We actually physically have a place to put people because we don't. That's our issue. We're trying to get this done, and we're trying to get it done as efficiently and as affordably as we can. We just haven't come up with the answer at this point.
And I've heard from some people, and I just want, because they've said this, I just want to get your perspective. I'm not trying to accuse the city of anything or staff, but some people say that after reading the discussion paper, they feel like it's biased against people who live in RVs. How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't believe it's biased against people. It's really looking at where can people go, how can they fit in, and how do we make sure that they're in a safe place, but also in a place that they can afford. Living on the streets is what people are doing because they can't afford. But we have bylaws against that, and I can't fetter what our bylaw officers do. We've had this discussion with them. They've done, you know, they've looked at it and saying, okay, so we're going to make sure that we're applying the bylaw, and they do it more on a complaint base than just knocking on everybody's door and saying, you need to move on. I don't know how they've been doing the you know, the bylaw and the enforcement. I don't know about that. I'm not, so getting back to your question, are we biased against those? No, I would say we're not biased against those. We understand those who are in their vehicles or in their RVs are there because they can't afford anything different. They used to live, I've spoken with people that had a home, that they were fine, and then for whatever reason they were told to move out of their home, they need to move on, the rent had gone up, whatever the case may be, and this is the only option that they found. And they still have gainful employment, it's just on the low end of the spectrum as far as income goes to be able to afford living here in Revelstoke, and we know that the rents are very high here in our community. And so how do we help that? And as a community, we can't take civic money, taxpayers' money, and support people by saying, okay, we'll pay for part of your rent. That's not what we can legally do. So how do we make it available for people to live here? I don't think we have an answer. And, you know, getting back to, you know, are we biased against them? I don't believe so. I think every community has this sort of issue. And some have had stronger enforcement saying, you know, you need to move off. You need to be off of the street and gone. We're going to go in. We're going to move you away from here, put you in a park or do whatever. We haven't done that. And we haven't enforce that in that way that I understand anyway.
I mean, right now it's not a secret. People parking near the community center and down across from the Ball Diamonds during the day and then at the Big Yeti pullout at night. And talking to those people, some of them that I've talked to said they just don't want to have to bounce around so much in the wintertime driving across the highway. They just want a place where they can park, put their garbage, take care of their sewage, and they're even willing to pay for that. Just describe for people, and I have read the discussion paper, so I do kind of understand the complexity, but just describe why it's not so easy as a city to authorize that.
Well, first of all, that's basically saying to people, here, you can park in our community center parking lot. You can utilize our facilities. Well, our facilities are not always open. And if they're parking down by the Ball Diamonds, those facilities are not open in the winter because they're not winterized. So then it comes down to, you know, we can't afford to winterize it to keep the water running, to keep the facilities open for these folks. And then we don't have, we don't have garbage receptacles or for them to use. Those sorts of things, you know, could be put in there, but then we have people who are traveling through that use that sort of thing, and then we end up where it's being abused. But we don't want to have people there because now we have snow removal issues. There's all kinds of issues with having them in an area. I get they don't want to bounce around. I understand that. But when they move across the highway to that truck stop, there is those pit toilets that are available for them to use year-round. And so we just don't have the facilities open. And then the community is saying, but we don't want to be able to have, people tenting and parking and whatnot and utilizing this, because then we get people who are not caring for the area. So, you know, we're in a really tight bind as to what to do and what not to do.
And what about across from the Ball Diamond, not where people are parking now, but what about having a space outside of town or somewhere a little bit more out of the way in city limits where people could park? Why isn't that possible and clean cut to do?
I don't know of any land that we have that we could actually do that on. That's actually accessible to people, and then go from there. We know that there's campgrounds that are open that are available that they could hook up to, but they tell us that they can't afford to stay there. And I've never compared the rates or looked at that sort of thing. We've had people talk to us about our Williamson Lake campground. Why isn't that open in the winter? Again, the facilities are not open. They're not winterized at this point, but also even the hookups are not winterized. And they're not deep enough for keeping things from freezing up. So, you know, that's an issue that we need to deal with as we move forward, but we don't have an answer for that at this point.
How worried would the city be if they did winterize, for example, Williamson Lake campgrounds? How worried would the city then be that it would just attract more people living in RVs and trucks and campers?
Well, there's only so many spaces down there. But then we're looking at this is now on the taxpayer to winterize this, to put it in to allow people to park there. There's not provincial government saying, hey, we're going to give you X number of dollars to put in a spot for RVs and vans and stuff for people to live in. So we're caught in that situation where there isn't money to do it, and yet people are continuing to live in there. So I don't have the answer as to what's going to be the best.
What I know that you have the housing summit coming up, and that will be talked about then, but I'm just wondering what you think, and I know you're in a bind, I understand that, but is there any kind of easy solution to this that comes to mind that might be the best way forward to address this problem?
If there was an easy solution, we would already be doing it. So it's a real hard, complex situation, Megan. How do we do it? What's going to work best for everybody? And, maybe somebody has been able to do this in another community and they're able to give us some insight as to what they've done. But when we look around the province and say, hey, what have you done? Everybody's saying the same thing that we're saying. We don't have an answer to this problem.
And then just my last question for you, what is the city doing or what can the city do differently to include low-income residents on decisions around housing developments? What efforts are you making to reach out to those voices?
Well, we're looking at what's going to be doable as far as affordable housing. Can we utilize space that we already have city property on? Can something be built on that will actually get this done? So we're looking at those options. We just haven't defined what we can do at this point. So, you know, the conversation is ongoing, and it's frustrating for us as it is for those in need. How can we get things done quickly, efficiently, and in a way that doesn't put burden on the taxpayers of our community? So trying to find a concise way to get this done is difficult. It's not, and it's not quick, and it's as frustrating, I think, for counselors as it is for those that are saying, hey, what about me? And so, we look at the social fabric of our community. It's very important. It's what makes us, what drives us, and coming up with an answer. Hopefully we'll be able to find an answer by conversing with others and saying, what have you done? And we've asked these questions of other communities, but nobody's come up and said, this is exactly what we can do. So now Premier Eby is saying, we want to get things done for housing as quickly as possible. We understand his mandate. We're changing things. Our red tape as far as building things is cut, we think, fairly close and fine so that we can get things done quickly. But then finding the funding to help build things is what we're waiting to hear from the government. They keep saying there's funding. I haven't seen that come or filtered through to us at this point.